Good morning, church family. Wow, as we've heard already, it is Palm Sunday. How exciting. Now, for those of you who like to follow along in the passage in the Bible, we're going to be looking at John 12, 12 to 19. You should be able to find it fairly easily. I think you can probably guess what it is. Now, who has completed a really big project? Now, it might have been a dissertation at university as part of a degree. It might have been the completion of a big project that you did for work, for an employer, and you thought when it was finished, phew, thank goodness it's finished. It might be a hobby. You might have completed your family's genealogy. But whatever that project was, I wonder how you felt at the end of it. I think having completed my own big projects, there was a sense of achievement, of definite relief, of pleasure, and maybe even a little bit of pride that this big piece of work has been completed. In many ways, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was the conclusion of his earthly teaching ministry. In other words, it was the conclusion of the work he had to do in those 3 years while he taught and ministered in and around Israel, Judea, and Jerusalem. And John tells us that, in fact, during the Palm Sunday celebrations, we have the final sign of who Jesus really, really is. Palm Sunday also sets the scene for the final dramatic conclusion, the death and resurrection of Christ. It is very tempting to brush past those final passages. Oh yes, we'll just brush past those final passages of Jesus' life in order to get to the bit that we're really interested in, to get to Easter. Want to know about Easter? But I want us to slow down and have a look at these final passages before next Sunday, before Easter, because we're not there yet. We've got a week to go. We're not there yet. Now, last week, Steve very helpfully preached on the raising of Lazarus. And the passage in John tells us about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, but a hint, big hint, we're not quite finished with Lazarus yet, because he actually features in the Palm Sunday celebrations. So before further ado, let's have a look at the passage itself. So it's John 12, 12. Okay, the next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Wow. Quite a powerful passage when you think about it. Now, last week, as I said, Steve preached on the raising of Lazarus. And in this passage, we start to see the effect, the kind of ripple effect, ripples out. You drop a stone into a pond and it ripples out. We start to see the effect that that miracle started to have on people. Because the people involved in the story, they went out. And they started to tell their friends and their neighbours. And the story spread and spread and spread. And it travelled. So we have the climax of two events. Firstly, we know that this celebrations of Palm Sunday took place during the Jewish Passover period. And as a result of this, Jerusalem was absolutely packed full of people. It was full of people. People had come in from the countries, they'd come from afar, because they'd come to celebrate Passover. Now, I'm sure all of you at some stage or another have been to the zoo, or you've been to the circus, or you've been to the theatre, or a music concert, or whatever takes your fancy. And there's always a major event or exhibit at the event. Well, guess what? Lazarus was that major exhibit. People had heard about this miracle. They'd heard the stories spreading. And so they all had to go and see this miracle. Had to go and see Lazarus. They had to go and see Jesus coming in. Because who was this Lazarus? And even more to the point, who was this Jesus that had performed this miracle? And so they were one of the major exhibits, one of the major big people involved that year in the Passover. So, what was really going on when Jesus came in to Jerusalem? Well, Jesus' symbolic entry into Jerusalem was symbolic of two major past events. Now, in 164 BC, Judas Maccabeus had come into Jerusalem, very similar to Jesus. He'd come on a big war horse. You know, he'd fought his battles. He'd come into Jerusalem. He came, he cleansed the temple. He got rid of all the pagans out of the temple, chased all the foreigners out of Jerusalem, and he became the king for a little while. He became the ruler of the Jewish people for a little while. But he did it in a very human-like fashion, with power and force, because he kicked out those foreigners, got rid of those people that shouldn't be in the temple, and he cleansed the temple. And as a result, the Jewish people have a celebration called Hanukkah every year. And that's what they remember. It's to remember Judas Maccabeus coming into Jerusalem and clearing out that temple. Now, that is obviously the wrong interpretation of Palm Sunday. and is often, as happens in the Gospels, the disciples got it wrong because that's what they probably thought of. And they got it wrong, as is often the case. They were expecting Jesus, when he came to his final glory, to come in on a war horse, like Judas the Maccabeus, come in on a war horse. They expected him to come in, throw the Romans out, and actually to throw all the other foreigners out as well of Jerusalem, to come in, to take the temple over. Oh, it was going to be wonderful when he did that. The Jewish people were going to go back to their height again, just like they did when David was on the throne. They were going to get their country back again. It was going to be wonderful. But of course, that really isn't the kind of king that Jesus was going to be. He wasn't going to come in on a war horse. He wasn't going to come and throw all the foreigners out of the country. And he didn't come and throw the Romans out either. But for any Jewish person that was awake, there was another major event that this whole business of Jesus parading into Jerusalem would have reminded them of. And as the passage said, it was only after that the disciples made all the proper connections. And of course, Jesus was symbolic of the Exodus. Now you may remember that this is the time of Passover, when the Jews celebrated the events of the Exodus. And if you remember, right back into Genesis, when the Hebrews were told that they had to put a red thing on the doorposts, and they had to cook a lamb, and they had to take off in the middle of the night, and they were taken by Moses and led out of Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea, and it was the beginning of their journey, 40-year journey, into the Promised Land. And that's what we know now symbolized the Palm Sunday. Jesus was going to be the sacrificial lamb. And thank you very much to Val for reading the passage from Zechariah. Because Jesus didn't come in on a war horse. He came in on a donkey, a humble donkey. And that was the final sign, the donkey, of his teaching ministry. Because it revealed who he really was. Yes, Jesus was a king, but he wasn't a king like people imagine. He was going to be a king for all peoples. And in fact, we start to see the echoes of that in the story. We're told that there were people from the Pharisees. We're told that there were people in Jerusalem who weren't from Israel or Judea. They were foreigners. They were from other countries. Because obviously the Jews were still scattered. And so they come into Jerusalem. But they would have gone back after the Passover, back to wherever it was they lived. There were Greeks there. There were people from all over the place. And guess what? They were starting to follow Jesus. And they weren't all Jews. Some of them were Gentiles. It was the very, very start of the Gentiles coming to Jesus. They realized, this guy's a king. We want to follow him. And they weren't all Jewish. It's the very beginnings of people from other nations starting to come and follow King Jesus. Now, the leaders were very unhappy about this set of events. And they started to think to themselves, this Jesus, he's eaten with sinners, he's broken out the law, the Jewish laws. He's done things he shouldn't have done. He's turned the money tables over in the temple, which could destabilize our economic system. And now we've got this Lazarus fellow to worry about. We don't like this Jesus. He's a threat. There's too many people going after him. Too many people interested in him. Too many people following him. We remember all the things he's done. He's sat with the sinners. He's eaten stuff he shouldn't have eaten. He's done these miracles. How dare he? How dare he come and upset our system? How dare he come and upset our Jewish traditions? He's got to go. They didn't realize or recognize Jesus for who he was, the King of the world, not just the King of Israel or Judea. He was the King of the world. And we start to see the echoes of that happening in this passage. And so when we leave the story of the Passover, with them threatening to kill Jesus and threatening to kill Lazarus, we don't know. Well, I know I've preached on Lazarus as well. And we don't know, we're not told in the Bible, how long Lazarus did live after he'd been raised. Whether he lived a normal human lifetime and then died, or whether he maybe was killed early because he was seen as such a threat by the Jews. We just aren't told, and we don't know. We have to guess, we have to surmise. But they were very, very unhappy Jewish leaders. And so, we need this story, knowing that Jesus is our King. Our King is the King of this church. He's the King of the world. But the scene is set in concrete for the great conclusion for Easter. The scene is set.